You are listening to audio recorded at the Village Church. For more information, go to villagechurchbaltimore.com.
We've got a short video clip here of a few people who are instrumental in helping this church get going from the beginning, and they wanted to express their well wishes. Obviously, this is during a lot of pastors' own worship time, so they couldn't be here in person. But with the magic of technology, they're able to share through some videos. So enjoy this.
Hi, I'm Gary Glanville. I was the pastor of Northwest Baptist Church in Reisterstown, Maryland. Congratulations, Pastor Dan and Village, in 10 years as being a church. The building you're in was given to us 14 years ago, and we were looking for someone to take it from us to be a mission, and you were the ones God sent, and we are so happy for you, and I'm very proud of you. You have a wonderful pastor in Pastor Dan. God bless you, Village Church.
Hey, what's up, Village? Congratulations on 10 years, and congratulations on your growth, your development of future leaders and church planters. Congratulations on reaching your neighborhood and just being around. And for me personally and selfishly, I want to thank my good friend Dan Hyun for being a friend to me, a guy I can always count on. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in your future, so we're celebrating with you. Love you guys.
10 years ago, I met Dan Hyun for the very first time, and I knew then God had something very special in store for our work together, but I had no idea what a great blessing this man and this church would be to the community of Hamden and to the wider city of Baltimore. It has been an absolute delight to watch God work through Pastor Dan and through the ministry of the Village Church. And I want to say to you as a church family how thankful I am that you allowed Mid-Maryland Association and Maryland Delaware Baptist to play a role in your story. And we cannot wait to see how God writes the rest of it. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the party, and God bless you all.
Hello, Village. This is Adam Feldman from Metanoia Church in Ellicott City. I want to say congratulations to you all for your 10 years of mission and ministry. Thank you for Dan and Judy and their service there. We love you guys. We're so thankful to have been part of your journey and your ministry in the Hamden area. And I brought a couple of friends with me from Metanoia to also wish you happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, there have been a lot of people, especially in the beginning, who walked with us to allow this to happen because they believed in what God was doing, so we're grateful. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, that this building we're meeting here in the first Pastor Gary, he had alluded to it. This is Hamden Baptist Church, and we want to be very, very clear. This all that we call the Village is not happening without the sacrifice of some dear old faithful saints from like the 1800s up to about 10 years ago who sacrificed, who recognized, and they realized, and just be very honest, it wasn't an issue of their belief or faith, but they had just started to fall a little behind, just as many churches do in our country, in our city. But they were a blessed group of older believers who said, I don't want this to die with us. I remember one of the oldest ladies who was part of that church, Miss Eileen Justice. She shared in front of our church at one of our early anniversaries. She came up here to the front, and she said she had a vision before we were ever part of this, and said she was in this room, and God showed her a tomb. That the direction the church was going, this it was going to die, and this was a tomb. And then she told our church at the time, you are the answer to our prayers. So in a sense, we're called the Village, but we are Hamden Baptist Church. I wanted them to know very clearly, things did not end when their church ended, but it's going on in their legacy through all of you here. So a lot of those saints are not around here on this earth anymore, but I just imagine that they're in glory, smiling at the investment that they made. They've never met any of you. I would guess they'd be a little shocked to actually see the church as it's become. but I'm sure they're praising the Lord at what he's done through their sacrifice, through their generosity, and through investment. So I want you all to know that this did not just really start with just us here. It was the faithfulness of many people. This has been a great weekend. If you weren't around for the rest of it, Friday night we were in here. We had this amazing worship concert as we just sang different songs. Last night was this amazing banquet that we held to remember and to celebrate, even just a little lament and just really to give God faithfulness. I've been part of a lot of really good things in my life. God has been very good to me. Legit, I would put this weekend like right near the top of that list. It's been a highlight for me, just even thinking about a lot of brokenness. And I'm going to say this, and I want you to hear me really clearly. I'm not saying this is our church, but I work with a lot of pastors. Pastors get treated like crud. There's a lot of pastors that get, and there's a lot of bad pastors too, so we'll be clear. It goes both ways. But there's a lot of pastors who faithfully serve and just get treated like dirt, expected to work crazy hours and get paid almost nothing, get talked about, their family gets hated on by the church. I am so thankful to be part of a church culture, and even as we raise up other pastors, where in Romans 12:10 it says, outdo one another in showing honor. And I believe I've experienced that in what it means to be shown honor. You all show me honor, my family, and I hope we'll do that to one another. So thank you for blessing me and my family over the past 10 years, but even this weekend. It's my genuine joy to pastor you, and I'm honored to walk with you as your pastor. So I do want to share from the Bible. We do that at our church. Some of you are like, oh, this is one of those churches, they don't even open the Bible. No, we do in a little bit. But I want to pray before I do that. So can you, and I want to pray for, I'll be very honest, I'm a human being. So when I saw the weather forecast for this weekend, earlier this week, I'm like, oh, we might get rained out because there's giant storms coming up the coast. It might hit us real bad. And it didn't. We got amazing, amazing weather. But we're not ignorant because we know a lot of people in our country did not get amazing weather. They're actually in the midst of some tremendous storms and flooding right now. And we want to pray for them. And we know that many people in certain parts of Asia are under tremendous storms right now, life-taking storms. So can you join me as we pray, as we celebrate? But we're all always more than about us, right? So join me as we pray. Lord, thank you as we remember. Thank you, Lord, as you've allowed us to be part of some great things. And Lord, this is not the biggest church in the world, but we believe there have been some life-impacting things that have happened through the good work here. And Lord, so many more that aren't even represented in this room whose lives have been transformed. So we pray, and even as we go into your word, help us to see, Lord, how you're doing that. But we do pray for men and women and children throughout the coast, and especially in the Carolinas, who right now, they're not in their churches because they're suffering, they're hurting, they've lost homes, they've lost a lot. Some have even lost their lives. We know that in some parts of Asia, storms have come in and wiped out whole areas. So we pray for your great comfort. And it's that conundrum, Lord, because we know you're good. We know that you're in control, but we also see a broken world, and we're reminded why we do what we do. That we're awaiting that day when all creation will bow down before you, Lord. In the meantime, we pray, we give, we work, Lord, so you might be known. So we pray right now, supernaturally, those who need to know your comfort, you would send them someone, you would speak to them, you would do something, Lord, that reminds them you have not forsaken them. And that some may even come to know you through all this. So we thank you, Lord, for this church. And as we go into your word, guide us this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've been going through this short three-week series the past few weeks. A couple weeks ago I started, we call this balance. As we talk about a paradigm for our church, we think these things should be in balance for a healthy church. A couple weeks ago I preached on the idea of robust orthodoxy, that it's actually really important why you believe what you believe. It's important. We're not just people say, well, we just need to love one another. Of course, but that needs to be rooted in the knowledge of who God is through his scriptures, how that guides in life. And then last week, Pastor Larry preached on compassionate community, and yo, he killed it. He killed it. If you have not heard it, go listen to it. One of the best sermons I've heard on why we need community. So go listen to that. And today, I'm going to talk about this idea of intentional mission, this other bridge, of the idea that as a people, we love community. We love this idea of teaching and orthodoxy, but we're never meant to be a holy huddle that just stays within ourselves. We're never meant to be a bunch of like big bobble-headed like Christian nerds that learn a lot and read all the theology and know all our Spurgeons and our Luthers and our and that's all and we're good. Oh yeah, we mature. No, you're not if there's not a sense of mission. That we're always called to receive from God so that we go forth and we share what God has done. The good things he's given us are always meant to be shared out. And I want to start with this idea. Usually when we think about mission or missions, most of us, if you're from a Christian background, you're probably thinking an activity. You're like a missions trip. Or here, you know, we're going to go serve the poor. We're going to give some food. That's missions. It is missions. But it's also an activity. And I want us to not be confused. Missions, maybe you can remember a few things here. Missions is not just what we do, but missions is also who we are. Mission is not just what we do, but mission is also who we are. And as we think about that for our church, I want us to simmer and marinate in this idea that God, he continually transforms us so that we would share his message to the world. That God, he loves to have our lives impacted by him. He loves to meet us, and some of you, if you've been there, some of you were in there, like right now, maybe last night, maybe 5 minutes ago, like deep, dark pits. You're like running from God. You've got destructive behaviors. You are doing anything that would make someone look at you and say, oh, they need help. And God loves to meet us there, transform us inside and out, so that his message would be shared with the world. That's what God does. He transforms us so his message can be shared with the world. And I want to share briefly from this passage and this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. And what it says there in the beginning of verse 17, therefore, whenever you hear therefore, whenever you see therefore, you know, this is stuff you pay thousands of dollars to go to seminary for, right? If you see therefore, it's there for a reason, right? You're like, yo, I paid that much to learn that. But if you look a little bit ahead of this, it's talking about Jesus, and it's talking about this crazy idea of what the resurrection looked like in Christ's life. And it says that when you saw Jesus, if you looked with human eyes, it looked like it all ended when he died. But it's challenging to say, you need to understand he rose from the grave. There was a new life that came from death. What we saw with our eyes, that was not the final say. But he conquered death and the grave. So what it's saying now, therefore, because of that, if anyone is in Christ, if you're a Christian, if you are found under the covering of Jesus, you are now also a new creation. Just like Jesus is no longer defined by the grave, he rose again. Now you also, what was your past life? Who you used to be? Who you are in your flesh? That's still part of you in a sense, but it's been redeemed. It's been transformed. You are wholly new. You are a new creation. As it says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And the rest of this, it's saying, if you're a new creation, it's through the work of Jesus. Jesus, just as his life was transformed, now he's given you that same life. He's forgiven our sins. He's cleansed us. But guys, I think sometimes in the Christian world, we stop there. And we even talk about Jesus that way, right? Jesus can take away your sins, and now, woohoo, you got your free pass to heaven. You're good to go. Your sins are forgiven. You're cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Go all the way home. Go all the way home. We do. He's purchased that for us. But we have to understand the rest of this. He's reconciled us to himself. He's forgiven our sin. But as it says in verse 18, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. It never ends with us. As it says further there, that God was reconciling. Reconciling means he was making it right. And it was done through Jesus' work. And now, as he's given us that new life, he's given it so that we would help others to know that same reconciliation. Verse 20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. What this is saying is that the way God is showing a dark, broken world that doesn't know him, hey, y'all want to know I'm real? You want to know that this is true? You want to know that this book is speaking truth? Look at all these folks who've had their lives reconciled to me. Not because they're good, not because they're cute, but because of the work of my son, Jesus. And now they have been made right with God when they were once his enemies. And now you can also have that life. And if you want to know more about it, talk to my ambassadors. Talk to my representatives. Talk to the ones who bear my name and my image. And as Paul writes here, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is more than just us. God's mission rides on this idea that his people would represent him. And again, in verse 21, we see how this happened. That Jesus, who knew no sin, he became sin so that you and I might find the righteousness of God, new life, and be like Jesus, transformed, no longer to grave, but now in new life. So as I think about this, I don't know if you can tell from where you are, but I got some real like inner geek side of me. Like I am a geek at heart in some ways. I love my sci-fi. I love like different things. I love like shows and movies, things like Back to the Future or like Doctor Who, Terminator. I know that was you're like, oh, that's not the same brand. Yeah. Put your nerd thing back in your pocket. What I'm saying is I love these like It's a Wonderful Life kind of things that talk about trajectories of life. That talk about this was the way that the world was supposed to go, but some key things happened at a certain point in time in history, and it changed everything. Like, there were key moments that happened in lives, and a lot of these movies, it's about being able to go back in time and changing those things so that the future will be different. But there was something instrumental that happened at a moment in time that changed the trajectory of the course of history from that moment forward. Something changed. And what I'm going to suggest for us, that when you and I, when we experience transformation, the trajectory of history changes. When you experience the powerful work of God in your life, and maybe it happened years ago, maybe it happened yesterday, maybe it's continuing to happen. When something changed within you, you might not even have known it, but everything, like ripples around you changed. People around you changed. Your course of destiny changed. God was going to use this transformation in your life, and he's going to ripple out from there. It's going to touch others. And here's the thing. Here's one thing we've learned at our church. You might not even know what happened at the moment. When you're faithful in following Christ, when you're serving, when you're loving someone, when you're giving a gift, you're being generous, you might not even know anything changed. But I guarantee you, the way God works, there was a ripple. It's like at the beginning moment of 2 points, I'm not a math guy, so I'm going to butcher it. Like, but two lines going out from a point, at the beginning, when they start going in a different direction, it doesn't look like much, right? It doesn't look like much has happened, but you follow that for like years, they're like in different zip codes, different cities, different states. Because once where this life was going this way for you and those around you, boom, Christ intersected in your life and you're going off in this direction. And something has changed, and everyone who's now in your path, their life will now be impacted and affected. And that's what we've been talking about at church for 10 years. It's why we do the things we do. It's for us. I love what we do here on Sundays. I hope you never hear, but it's really not just about this. It's not about putting on a show. It's not about, I mean, this was a good show. You would have paid for that music. That was good. But it's not about that. It's not about saying, that was great. Man, I'll give offering this week because that was worth it. It's not that. It's for us putting you in a place where you would best receive opportunities to experience the transformation of God so that you can be better equipped to be on mission. It's why we do things like community groups. I got to be honest, for me, sometimes I think in Christian circles, we think of community groups as like Christian babysitting. It's like, y'all do Sunday church, but man, you go Christians gone wild during the week. So you need somewhere to sit and someone to monitor you. Just go to a Bible study. They'll monitor you and maybe even give you some food if they're a real good group. It's so much more than that. Groups, the reasons we have them is for you to go and say, yo, does this message of following Jesus sound insane to anyone else? Like sacrifice, love others. When I got no more room on my Google calendar to make sure I fit other people in there. And really? And then you look around at other people like, yep, we all nuts. But praise Jesus that he loves nuts. Right? That we're doing it together. We remind one another what it means to be on mission together, and we get equipped together. That's why we need to be in these communities together. That's why we do things like global missions. We're talking about sending a team to Lima, Peru. And we want to go do things, but ultimately for us, the reason we do that is we want you to go on trips like this so that through that process, God will be transforming you. God will be working you in ways that he won't do in probably in our normal settings, and that your life will be transformed, and so much more than 1 week of going on like a Christian version of vacation. But it's a lifelong transformation that propels you to mission. It's why we encourage you to serve in this church. It's why we encourage you, hey, get involved and serve. And I'll be real. Some of you are way overqualified to be pushing like a computer to do the next slide. Or handing out a card downstairs and smiling. Some of you got way too much education for you to, it's like way above your pay grade. But we don't just do these things to get stuff done, but we believe the process of serving, the process of giving ourselves, sometimes even doing things that we feel are not a good fit for us, God works in that. He shows us his character. He's transforming us. So for me, I believe with all that I have that transformation translates to mission. I believe that God transforms us and it leads to mission. And I believe it's true because the Bible says it. We could just stop right there because the Bible says it. But I also believe it because I've seen it with my own eyes in this church. I've seen with my own eyes in this church through so many of you, when God transforms you, mission happens from there. So on that thought, we wanted to open up the mic down here. And you're going to be part of the sermon today. I want you to come up here if you have maybe a short, and we're talking short, 1 minute max, because we want everyone, as much as many people as possible, to have a chance. So if you go too much over the minute, we haven't busted them out in a while, but the arm of love might have to come out and pull y'all back. So don't let the arm of love come out, right? Arm of love loves you, but we don't want arm of love to come out. So keep it to a minute. But maybe you can come up here and share what's some way that God has transformed my life through this church, if you've experienced that. What's a way, have you experienced transformation through this church? Or maybe how has God used the people of this church or someone to impact your life? And I want to see, and for us to share some of the evidence of how God has done that. So the mic is open here. Just come on up, introduce, just say your name, and then share briefly. But share, and share how you've experienced transformation as we see in the church. If no one comes up, I always got like extra 20, 30 minutes of sermon in my pocket so we can keep going. But I would love to hear from y'all. So the mic is open.
I gotta say, I'm bursting with gratitude coming back. I'm a 2017 graduate of The Village. And my heart is overflowing with just so much love and so much gratitude for the chance to come back and see all these faces and all the people that have had such a huge impact on my life. And when Matt and I started coming to this church, there were like five people here who walked in the first Sunday, and we thought we weren't at like the right place. But there was such a rawness in people sharing what was really going on in their lives. People really wanted everyone to be up in their business and to be speaking truth into their lives and to be living life together. And that was transformational for me. And I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. I have a great church resume. But this is the place where God started to pry my fingers open to live a life of freedom and to know the possibility of his love in a way that I never had before. So I am so grateful. And you have an abundance in this church of resources. And I know it's bigger now. And maybe that feels overwhelming and intimidating, to be real. But share your lives with each other. Tell the truth, because people love you. And we just need to share each other's burdens. So that's what I want to say.
Hello, my name is Pastor Mike, and I'm interning with Pastor Dan. So before we got here to Baltimore, my wife said, as God was calling us down here, man, we could die coming here. And but when we got here, the generosity, the love that we've experienced here has totally transformed our vision, our perception of Baltimore. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of forgiveness. I see so much more in Baltimore because of what I've seen coming from here and you guys. So just know that you guys are shaping and transforming us as we transition to Baltimore, and I want to thank you for that.
Amen.
Hi, guys. My name is Justin, and I'm an undergraduate here at Hopkins. And I just want to say how the Village has changed me, specifically through being part of a community group. I know some of you guys are out there who are part of my community group back at Charles Village, but I just want to say thanks for always being there for me and helping me out with some of my life challenges that I've been through in the past. Even being a younger individual in that group with a lot of older mentors has really helped a lot, especially being here at Hopkins, which is quite a tough journey for me. So, yeah.
If you want, you can start lining up so we don't have to have an awkward pause.
This is scary, but my name is Bella. I came here 4 years ago, and I was just different back then. And one thing that I remember was I started signing up to serve on Sundays so that it would be like a reason for me to come. Like, I would try to get myself off the hook and like be hungover and stuff. And I was like, you need to sign up so you serve, so it's like a reason for you to come back. And looking back at my life 4 years ago versus now, I just have changed a lot. And I do thank the church so much for that.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dave. So my wife, Amanda, and I have recently just kind of been thinking about our time here at the Village. And honestly, I cannot articulate exactly how we've grown, but we know we have. So we've been here about 4 years, and we both know that we've grown in our relationship with God, our walk with Jesus. It's been a great time. So, and really, it's all of you. Some of the people that have been here for the years that we've been here, just coming here every week, seeing you all. Of course, like a lot of you, I don't know, but I feel like I know you because I see your face every week, and it's like it's family. A lot of you folks I look up to, I look up to your faith and how you walk with God, and the leadership of this church. It's been great to be a part of. So thank you all.
So there's so much I could say. I was honored enough to be here the first service in 2008. Something I want to say today is that it's been very emotional. There's been a real ache in coming back and seeing people that changed the trajectory of my life with God. And it's actually been hard actually to come, and because that configuration of people will never be the same. You know, people move on, people's lives change, God sends people in different directions, and it's so sad to me. But I really felt like this weekend there was a glimpse of heaven in, you know, how connected we are. No matter where we go in this life, we're going to end up together. Mm-hmm. And that gives me some peace, although it really, I'm very heartbroken. So what I want to say to all of you that come to this church now is don't take for granted the people that are with you now. I feel like I wasted a lot of time. I could have spent more time with these people over here, and I didn't spend enough time with them. And I know life makes you busy, but just don't take this for granted, because you don't know when this configuration of people is going to be together again until heaven. And just love one another and be vulnerable and go deep with people when you have this chance.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, church. I'm Monty. I don't like speaking a lot, but Village is really important. And Dan, last night when you were talking about kind of people thinking you were crazy to pick Hamden as a location, is a reminder to me, so I just wanted to share. I've been in Baltimore my whole life, and Hamden was an area as like a black man that you just don't go to. The Camp Medfield where we were holding the services was a camp I used to go to when I was a kid, and I had not been there since we had that service since I was a kid. Some kids tried to drown me in a pool there. The camp counselors, there was a white camp, and then there was a black camp, and we would meet at the same pool. They used to make us fight each other. My dad has tons of stories, and I'll share with Dan some of these stories. And there was a lot of racial tension back then. And when I came here and I met Rob Pormier, and he shared some of his stories about how he was jumped and just a lot of stuff. That's stuff for him to share. Hamden was a dangerous place. I couldn't make the Bible studies, and Dan, you brought Rob over to my apartment because I work night shift. I still work night shift, and you guys would bring the Bible study to me. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it, but people would always say, hey, Monty, at church, that's not normal. Your church does that? That's not normal. Pastors, don't do that. But to me, it was normal, and I've been Christian for 5 years. I've been coming to the Village 5 years, and it just stands out to me that you're a wild man because there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of racial tension, and for you to say we're going to plant it here, it's just something that kind of now hit me last night. So, yeah, I just want to thank the church and definitely Rob, who's been here with me and just knows how wild it was. So thank you, everyone.
Dave Thompson's not the only one who can bring a cute kid up with him. I could say a lot of things about our time at the Village, but one of them is raising kids is really hard. And you have kids and you realize, especially as a dad, like, I'm supposed to be the example of God to them. That's a terrible idea. I'm just thankful for the community that I've had an opportunity to do that with. Audrey came to Christ here. Audrey got baptized here. And our other two kids are downstairs. And we just have an incredible community, not only of challenging each other and helping one another, but so many of you have poured directly into our kids and filled in the holes where we as parents are lacking. And so I'm just so thankful to be able to raise kids in this community, to be a part of this community, for you guys to be a great example of Christ to our kids in ways that we can't always do.
So I feel like I have I've just learned somehow through just growing up that over and over of trying to be good enough or perform well or just trying to save myself. And this community over and over has just spoken to me that you're enough, you're okay, like just be. And I just... Those words out of you guys I've now begin to see them coming out of God's mouth, and it's just I just really appreciate how each of y'all have shown me God's love in just a way that, like, I don't know, I just really appreciate how y'all are God's words and your hands or God's hands, and it just blows my mind how much I feel like I'm just seeing, I'm falling in love with God because of you guys. And I thank you for that. I thank you for being God's hands for us.
Um, I'm not going to say anything super meaningful because I've already cried a lot this week and I don't want to anymore. But just wanted to let, we were here from about 2008 to 2013. And then we moved back to rural Montana. And I just wanted you guys to know that we go to a little church out in the middle of nowhere. And everybody there knows about you guys because we talk about Baltimore and we talk about the village all the time. And I'm just so grateful that we get to go home and tell them about you guys and how great this church is doing. So people in Montana are praying for you guys. So.
On Friday, we sang a song that we have sang here. This is really weird, by the way. This is really weird because, I'm sorry, I had this intention of sharing this and ordered my thoughts, but you guys mean a lot, and you guys will be that immediately. It's amazing. Man, I really like Virginia's word to y'all. Cherish your friendships. But one thing that we sang that I feel like a lot of people have done the work, and what Pastor Dan was really, I have a lot of respect for the people that have gone before us. And I just wanted to read this Psalm 126 that we sing. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore the fortunes, O Lord, like streams of the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. There's been a lot of work in generations before you, and a lot of you may go out and do work and may experience hardship, but I feel that God is continually bringing us songs of joy. So.
Hi, my name is Paul Yee. And I don't know if you guys remember this, a while back, in like December, Pastor Dan opened up the mic for people to just share things that they were going through. And so I shared with you about a friend who was suffering from cancer at the time, and you know, I think that just being able to share that with you guys and experience this prayer on a congregational level was something I'd never experienced before. I've been a member of different churches of varying sizes, both smaller and larger than this, over the past, you know, however many years I've been living, and I think that to me that has been very really expanded my confidence in prayer at a heart level, because I think, you know, in small groups and in one-on-one settings, that's been great. And, you know, my friend is actually here today, and he's alive and well, and so, you know, I think that, you know, even if it hadn't gone well, I'm grateful for you all, but, you know, praise God for that healing that has happened in my friend's life. And, you know, I just want to encourage you all, you know, this is a church where you can pray with each other, for each other, and just make your, you know, make your struggles known. No, I think God is working here. Thank you.
Anyone else itching?
Hi, my name is Matt. I normally don't like to come up unless I've been able to think through something a little bit more, but I've got like 3 or 4 half-formed thoughts in my head that I'll try to get out in under a minute. So I come from a perspective of having just spent, thought really hard with my family about not coming back. We were away for a year, and it was a hard decision, I still feel like we made the right decision, and I'm really grateful for the timing of coming back and being able to be with y'all here this weekend. We've been here about 8 years now, and it's, I think like Dave said earlier, I don't know if I could say precisely how I've grown or been affected, but it's been a really wonderful 8 years here. We have gone through a lot of different things with different friends through this community and grown in a lot of ways. And I think in thinking through the, just the core group of friends here who make up the bulk of my experience, and then lots of new faces that bring life to this place and keep it changing and growing. So I think about how good it is to have this core group of friends, and also I think about maybe people here who don't, haven't been able to connect. And I guess my one of my half-formed thoughts is to encourage you, like Bella said earlier, to throw yourself in and work, even if you don't feel it and you don't see change or improvement, just to make yourself there and to push yourself on folks until something catches, because I think this kind of community is really important, and in my experience, it's rare. It's not something I found every place that I've lived, there's a lot going down in the future. So I hope all of you will be part of it and bring in more folks too.
Amen.
Hi, I'm VK. I'm shorter. So I originally came to Baltimore thinking I'd be here 1 year, maybe 2 years max. I was here for a master's program. I've now been here 7 years, and I don't foresee us leaving anytime soon. So for all of you who are here who are thinking, I'm just here temporarily and I'm going to go, I want to encourage you to think about whether or not you can stay, because there's something to be said about being a part of something like this and being able to invest. And I didn't know why maybe God had asked us to stay, but one thing I really want to point out to people in this room that hasn't been touched on yet, we've talked a lot about community and going deep, but I came here as a single dating person, got engaged, got married, and then became a mom here. And in every life stage, there have been women in this church who have taught me how to be a strong yet gentle woman of God. And there have been men in this church who have honored the women and have respected them and esteemed them. And I think that is something that is really rare in churches and in our culture. And so I just wanted to highlight that because I think that's something that's really important. And I'm just really super reminded of it because a lot of the women who have spoken in my life have come back this weekend, and a lot of you are still here. And I just want to say that now so that you know that if you've ever even had a conversation, I think people used to make fun of me because I would go to these women's events and have a journal out and write things. And like, I've kept all of that in my head. And if there is any good thing in me, woman-wise, it's because of all the women in here who have said literally one thing to me, and I've just really kept it in my heart.
Amen.
Hey guys, I'm Daniel. I feel like this fits in with Matt and VK and just the theme of kind of investing here. 3 years ago, my wife and daughter and I moved from Philly to here, and part of the reason for that was because I was between jobs, and I got a job here. So I wouldn't have necessarily chosen to leave Philly, but it was a good opportunity, and my wife's from Virginia, and it was kind of between and made sense. And I talked to Pastor Dan and found out he was a Philly guy, and you know, so we could be Philly fans together. So we came here, and we've been here 3 years now, and a couple weeks ago I found out I work in nonprofit, and there's some funding cuts and uncertainty, and sorry, I'm getting nervous all of a sudden, and probably because I'm talking about my job, but so, you know, I'm in a position now of knocking on doors, not knowing if I'll have a job in 3 months, and this isn't necessarily about personal transformation, I guess, but just in talking to my wife, we just really want to stay here. So I think that's here we go. I cry every time I get up here. So anyway, yeah.
Hi, I'm Mary Beth. I'm Daniel's wife.
And I love that he cries because he's, this is about the church, but I'm just going to say this about my husband. What you see is what you get with Daniel. It's my favorite thing about him. Anyway, back to the church. When we moved here in from Philly, it had been a tough season, and we were weary on a lot of levels, and I was wary and had my defenses up. And praise God, he used multiple people, Ashley LaPointe, Kedri, Rhonda, and Andy, and so many other people. I'm gonna stop there. So many other people to bring my defenses down and for me to believe in the messiness, but the vital place of the church, because I think I was ready to be a lone ranger again and attend church, but just fill a pew. And God, is using this church to bring me to a place of willingness to be vulnerable and to be open and to be used as he determines. And I also just want to thank everyone who is a part of the children's ministry, because my daughter loves coming to church more than I ever have in my life. And I just think that is so unique. She is so excited when it's Sunday. The Graces, Rachel and other teachers, she just loves. She knows that she's safe. She may not be able to tell as much about the Bible story, but she wants to be here, and she knows at heart what it's about. So praise God. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, baby. And I just wanted to add one final thought. I'm a missionary kid. I've lived a lot of places. I've moved a lot of places. If you look at my email address, it has the word nomad in it. So there's a lot of places that I would love to travel to and live in this world. But right now, we want to be in Baltimore. Amen. At the village.
Hello, my name is David. I'm the other half of rural Montana. We have not been back here I was actually here 2 years ago, but I'm just going to say we really haven't been back here for 5 years. And I told Dan this the other day, or Friday night, and I just wanted to say it again. You know, my wife and I moved here. We had been through a lot of different church communities, and we moved here to Baltimore in 08 or 09, whatever it was. Not only did we see the word the village, they had something about coffee and authenticity, and we're like, nope, we ain't going to no hipster church. And this gentleman moved in two houses down from us, and we kept seeing him, and we started talking to him, and I said, you're a Christian, aren't you? He's like, yeah. And I go, where do you go to church? He goes, oh, I pastored down at the village. And we were like, really? And so we showed up that Sunday to watch Cameron doing his little skinny knee thing on the keyboard, and sat in the back and cried, and my wife and I, with the three other people that were here. And I guess just what I want to say is I left here. It was very, very difficult for us to leave here, my wife and I, because the people that we got so close to. And just wanted to thank Dan, because Dan instilled this thing into me that I didn't realize at the time. My wife comes from a very intellectual, philosophical background, and we struggled with a lot of things, but Dan just pushing, and the reason you started this church was to reach this community, like you said yesterday about the churches come to die here, and just investing in this community. So yeah, we went back to rural Montana, and I'm a part of this church, and we live by this little town called Whitehall. It's like 2,000 people, and it is a broken, ugly place. Rural Montana is very drugs the whole bit, and I was at a board meeting because I became a deacon because my wife's grandpa started the church, and they didn't know anything about music, so bringing me on, they felt better about that. And my point being is we were debating about supporting this organization called Love in Christ to reach the people of Whitehall, and my church is very mission oriented, and they've been very faithful about that, about long-term missions overseas for a long time. And I think I finally got to meet one of the missionaries because I'm not from that area. My wife is. And anyway, they were talking about this local thing and in our community, and I work there, and I see it every day. It's so broken and it's so bad. And the churches there are not doing very well or much. And anyway, they looked at me, and I kept quiet for 2-3 months over, like, are we going to support this organization? And they finally said, well, we want to know what Dave thinks. And I said, I don't know. And they go, what do you think? We're not going to vote till we hear from Dave. And all of a sudden, I just launched into this, like, I don't even know where it came, this diatribe of, why are we even debating this? Do you guys know what's going on? And anyway, long story short, because I don't want the hand of love, but thank you, Dan, because I went home. I had no idea what came to my mouth. I just got home and said, babe, I just conjured Dan Hyun. He just came flying out of my mouth. And everyone was just sitting there staring at me. And I remember one guy said, can I rescind my vote? And because he had voted not to support this. And he goes, maybe we should. Anyway, thank you, Dan. Thank you for all that you instilled my wife and I that you challenged us with. And yeah, just thank you.
All right. Oh. Okay, after this, we might have one more. So if you're itching, you got to come up.
My name is Manira, and I just wanted to shout out home groups because I had come here for just a year for graduate school at Hopkins, and I recently graduated, but I'm still here, yay. And I just think they're phenomenal. So if you haven't plugged into one because you're new, or you did plug into one last year and you're like, that's not my favorite, I'm not going to do that again this year, I would just say, please do what you need to do to, like, visit each one, even if you have to, because I did that, and then find one where you can feel loved and you can grow, because I just remember coming here as a new person. I didn't know anybody in Baltimore, and all of a sudden they were like, oh, we're going to go to this festival, come, and oh, we're going to, you know, you don't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving, come to our house for Thanksgiving, and I just remember the home group being like, I mean, don't get me wrong, the reason I went is because as a poor graduate student, I was like, I don't have any money, and they're going to serve dinner. I'll try this home group. And then it ended up being that, like, it was perfect. It was a place that I felt at home. I would sit with people. We would drink coffee and tea and chat, and it was phenomenal. So make sure that you're putting in the effort to connect, because it is worth it.
Amen. All right, last one. Come on up, Marion.
I feel like I can speak because I won't be here for the next year to take advantage of open mic, because in less than 24 hours I'm boarding a plane and hopping across the pond, and I won't be here. So 5 years ago in a few weeks, I came to the village. I was very broken. I was very abandoned. Not ashamed of crying. I was in a really, really low point. And the village was God's love letter to me. Because there were so many events and small groups and times where I was chatting with people about how their kids said all these funny things, and I felt like, this is home. And that means a big deal to me because my family lives in 5 different countries, or they're about to when I leave. There's only 4 different countries, and there's only 5 of us. At the time that I came, we were in 5 different countries. And I was the one that had stayed. Everyone had left. Oh, I'm getting that wrong. It's 4 countries, 5 cities. Sorry. And so I just want to say, don't shortchange yourself the opportunity to be known. Don't shortchange yourself the opportunity to have family, to form new community, and have people care about you. I think it's easy when there's a lot of people and you don't know everyone to just insulate yourself and say, I will wait until I'm reached out to. But if you are young, if you are lonely, if you need people, and you say, look, I will work for food, someone will take you in. And there's a lot of really cute children to be friends with. I found that to be a very easy in as a single person who had recently been broken up with and stabbed in the back. There's opportunities. You might not love babysitting, but there's lots of different people with a lot of different interests here. So I say, please don't cut yourself short and say maybe your needs are met socially. And also, don't ignore that little small part of you that says, I have love to give. you have a lot of love to give. You have a lot of love to receive, and we need to recycle.
Amen. I want to say really quickly, for some of you who are new, I can understand the optics here. Like, yo, this is like a really narcissistic church. They like love themselves so much. And the reason we do this is not because we're saying how great we are. We know we're broken, but we're testifying to God's faithfulness to a broken, wounded tribe of people who are saying we're going to walk together. And the way I talk about it is, if you want to get on my good side, talk up my wife. You want to get on my good side, you tell me how amazing my wife is, and I'll buy you dinner every night. And we're talking about the bride of Christ, which we call the church. So we want to glory, even in her warts, that this is the bride of Christ. So the point where we are now, and you've heard all the stories, like in the beginning, the people are joking, oh, three people, five people. They're not joking, hyperbole. It was like real. Can you imagine a room like this with like a few people and no one sits up front? So I'm preaching up here and everyone's like getting the last few rows. It's really awkward. Realistically, there was not much people saying about this church. We're at a weird point now where there's people nationally who know the church, know me in different ways. But I want to ask all of our alum, and if you're what I mean by alum, if you like were here but you're not here anymore because God has sent you somewhere else, can I ask you to stand for a moment? We want to honor you because in many ways the sacrifice you invested in years past when it probably wasn't as easy here, God has been using that, and I hope you can look and see some of the fruit of your labor, some of the fruit of your investment. Can we for a moment and thank them? Thanks, guys. You can sit down. God has used the transformed lives in this church to change the course of history. Amen? Maybe it's your history, but I'm going to guarantee you it's the history of more people, you, your neighborhood, your city, this country. God has used it, even if you might not be aware. And my hope is that he will continue to do so at the village as long as God wills. So guys, every act of obedience, every token of kindness, every sharing of generosity of the resources you have, even if it doesn't feel like you have a lot, every expression of hospitality, of opening your home to someone else, every measure of your sacrifice, every revelation of your vulnerability, even if your fiber says you can't share that with other people, they're going to judge you. Every acknowledgement of your grief and your pain, every celebration of thanksgiving at God's provision, God uses it all to alter the trajectory of this human story. Amen? God does not waste the things you give. And I want to just throw out an invitation here. If you're here like, man, I just thought I was coming to church today. What the heck is all this? If you don't know God, maybe you're walking far away from him. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm speaking from the scripture. God wants to alter the trajectory of your life as well. And maybe you walked in here and you don't have much hope. You don't even know if you should be in a church because you haven't lived a very holy life. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Welcome to a family that says, yo, we are so jacked up. Pray we have a God who loves jacked up people. And he invites you to his grace. Because that last verse that we looked at again, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The one who altered the course of history was this man named Jesus, where he went on this thing called a cross. And though he lived that perfect life, and he was the only one that could be found blameless, he had his life ripped from him. But it wasn't ripped because he was giving it in sacrifice and had his blood poured out and was put in a grave. But then he conquered that grave a few days later, conquered sin and death. And guys, that was how the trajectory of humankind was changed by the ultimate sacrifice of this God-man, Jesus Christ. And I want to welcome you. If you feel like your life is going in a direction, if you're being just honest, and we like honesty at this church, it's not going in a good direction. God can change you. Cry out to him. Say, Lord, change my life. And that's why we do this thing called the communion table. Where if you're a Christian, I'm going to invite you to come up and take a piece of the wafer. Remember the broken body of Jesus Christ. Dip it in that cup and remember the blood that was shed that changed your history. And thank him and praise him and pray. And I want to ask you to pray this way as you come up.
Pray in a very God-oriented way. Lord, transform me. Lord, transform me because this is for your glory. Lord, give me more of you. Lord, change my heart more. Lord, take these habits that are so destructive and change me because, Lord, the more you change me, the more I believe mission will go forth from here. So change me, God. And come here and receive the grace of God that you can't buy, but that was given to you freely at a great sacrifice of this Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, remember that. Remember our message. I love how someone recently told me, yo, your preaching's okay, but you say the same thing at the end every week for like, I'm like, praise God, because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If you're not a Christian today, say, God, change the trajectory of my life. And maybe you can take communion as a follower of Jesus, saying, Lord, I need you to forgive my sins and make me reconciled to God the Father. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, as people who are wounded and broken, and we have joy, but Lord, sometimes there's pain. Remind us of the one who fights for us. Remind us of the one who came to his death on this thing called a cross so that we could be made right with a holy God. And Lord, now you don't save us just so we can have a nice, happy life. You save us so we can be your very ambassadors into a broken world that's skeptical, even of Christians, even of the church, and we would go forth in your name. So help us as we respond now. I pray for some of us, even in this room, Lord, we don't know you in that way. Would you remind us that you love us so much and you'll even use this church? So we thank you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's stand together. I'm going to invite you to sing, pray. If you're a Christian, come down one of these two aisles and you can stand in a line and take the communion right there at the table. Let this be our reminder of what God has done in our lives. Amen.